Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's a special year-end edition of The Brian Lehrer Show. You are the only guests today. We don't need no Pauls or pundits. Our next call in, who or what was underrated in 2011? Who or what was underrated in 2011? Was it a movie, a TV show, a book, a restaurant you like that was panned on Yelp? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or maybe it was a person. Some of you, as we heard earlier in the show, I guess in that last segment, will say President Obama was underrated in 2011. I know that some of you will say that after he's been getting it from all sides. But who else in public life or your private life? Is it your father? Your teacher? Was it Mitt Romney or Rick Santorum, as some Iowa Republicans are apparently coming to believe? Who or what was underrated in 2011? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. I'm looking at an article on Huffington Post, the most underrated movie of 2011 by Scott Mendelson, his most underrated movie of the year, a film called Sucker Punch. He writes, flawed and compromised as it is, Zack Snyder's angry feminist action fantasy is a brutally critical look at how culture, especially geek culture, accepts wanton misogyny against half the planet as a matter of course. Now, I don't know if you know Sucker Punch, but it got royally panned. I mean, this is one of those films that, you know, you could just sit and read one reviewer's negative hyperbole after another just for laughs. Like A.O. Scott in the New York Times wrote, you could go see Sucker Punch this weekend. A lot of people probably will. Or you could try to make it yourself, which might be more fun, though not necessarily cheaper. Here's what you'll need. A bunch of video game platforms, DVDs of Shutter Island, Kill Bill, Burlesque, and Shrek, some back issues of Maxim, a large bag of crystal meth, and around $100 million. And he concludes, ultimately, there is nothing here to enjoy beyond the tiny satisfaction in noting that the movie lives up to its name, Sucker Punch. So in that context, this other reviewer, Scott Mendelson, calls it the most underrated film of the year. He says it dares to ask whether it is even possible to have empowered females in action fantasy films, since the very image of attractive women doing action is so often judged as titillating, whether it is or not. It is the very thing we say we want in our blockbuster films, imaginative and original fantasies that offer real ideas and potent criticisms of social norms while also containing a flurry of jaw-popping cinematic eye candy. So there you go. I never even really heard of that movie until I read that rant today, and then we looked up what A.O. Scott and others said about it. But there's one example of one critic's most underrated movie of the year. How about your most underrated anything? Your most underrated anything or most underrated any person of 2011, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post them to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll take your calls on your most underrated of 2011 right after this. On WNYC, it's a special year-end edition of the show. You are the only guests today. We don't need no Pauls or pundits. Our next call-in, who or what was underrated in 2011? And Jane on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Happy New Year, Brian.
Same to you. You have a movie.
Yes. It's Almodovar's The Skin I Live In, which I felt was actually underrated by the Times and the New Yorker, in that they said that, yes, you know, he handled everything technically, brilliantly, but ultimately they really didn't give the film thumbs up. And seeing it yesterday at the Quad for the second time, I think that it was an absolutely brilliant movie.
Give our listeners the essence of what you think was brilliant about it.
Well, I don't want to give away the movie.
No, you know, you don't have to do a spoiler.
Okay.
But what made it a great film?
Okay. What made it a great film was the complexity of the intertwining of plot lines, and ultimately, at the end, the question being asked about whether one of the main characters would be accepted back by the family. Mm-hmm. And I can't really go beyond that,
right.
But people should see the movie.
Okay, that's some good stuff right there. Thank you very much. The human relationships and the complexity of intertwining plot lines. Good praise there, Jane. Thank you very much. All right. What or who was underrated in 2011? Seth in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hiya, Seth.
Hi. You know, I just wanted to say I think that teachers are just so underrated because, you know, they pour their heart and soul, and especially by students, they just get treated like crap, and, you know, parents think, like, why aren't you doing such a good job? And I just think, you know, they really don't deserve what they get, and they really need to be treated better.
Seth, what grade are you in?
I am a freshman in high school, ninth grade.
And you know all your teachers are going to be listening today, so you're just, like, totally brown-nosing, or?
No, it's just because I have this one teacher, Mr. Myers, and he's just my favorite. He really pours his heart and soul into every lesson. He spends 3 hours every night, you know, working, and, you know, I feel for him.
Thank you very much, Seth. I really appreciate that. And teachers everywhere, and of course this is school break, so isn't it great to know there's at least one student out there who, like, gets it, that you work your tails off, and all they can think is, oh, Mr. So-and-so or Ms. So-and-so, they are making me do this. Well, okay, at least Seth in Brooklyn thinks you're underrated. Larry in Bayonne, you're on WNYC. Hey, Larry, what was underrated in 2011?
The 150th anniversary of the beginning of the American Civil War.
Huh.
Nobody up north pays attention. We won, so it's not a big deal. Most people don't even know where their monuments are in their towns up here.
You know, that's a great point. 2011, it never even occurred to me. We did.
New York City and Jersey City and Newark were so directly affected.
Oh, absolutely.
New York City went through pure hell in 1863, mob rule.
The draft riots.
Absolutely. And it carried on for another 100 years after that. The Constitution was affected.
Yeah,
you tell that young fella, Seth, he's my favorite kid in the whole world.
Are you a teacher?
Absolutely.
Larry, thank you very much. Yeah, how about that? How did I miss that one? We did the 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, which was just earlier this month, but we did not touch on the 150th anniversary of the start of the U.S. Civil War, obviously, 1861. Lizzie in the East Village, what or who was underrated in 2011? Lizzie, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Hi, this is Lizzie. And I wanted to say that I think there's an author who's been incredibly underrated. And he, interestingly, if you'll excuse the pun, he bookended the year because he had a novel that was published in January called The Diviner's Tale. And then in December, he published a collection of short stories called The Uninnocent. His name is Bradford Morrow, and they're brilliant books. He's been really well known for his work with landscape in his earlier novels. He wrote a very moving book about the development of the atomic bomb and the sort of the line between World War II and Vietnam called Trinity Fields. But the two books that came out this year were so different from his earlier work. He really delved into the dark side of character and what the complexities in people's own personal individual lives. He got away from the political sort of writing that he was doing and into this very personal, very kind of noirish books in a way. And I think the New York Times underrated both of him. And I'm always surprised that more people aren't talking about his books because he's just such a marvelous writer.
All right. One for Bradford Morrow. Thank you, Lizzie. I appreciate that. There's a tip for you folks, Bradford Morrow. By the way, I'm reminded that we did touch on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. Ken Burns, who, of course, did that amazing PBS documentary series on the Civil War, Once Upon a Time, was here this year. More to talk about the Prohibition era, but we did touch on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War with Ken Burns, who was a great person to touch on it with. So there you go. It did come up. Judy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. What was underrated in 2011?
What was underrated is invisible, and that's why it's been underrated and not covered enough. And that is the radiation, which is invisible, which is floating all around the atmosphere and in the ocean because of Fukushima, as well as all power plants which emit radiation at low levels. And the oil, which is in the bottom of the Gulf and has, with the currents of the ocean, flown all around the oceans of the world, and is in a piece of salmon or tuna or whatever we're eating for dinner tonight, but because it's invisible, nobody's mm-hmm. really reporting on it, and now the Gulf is getting ready to gear up for more oil drilling because we've all forgotten, because the media, which did cover it and has covered it here and there, should be covering it every single minute of the day.
Julie, I'm going to leave it there. I did read a critique of media coverage of Fukushima just the other day about how the media became obsessed with Fukushima, rightly so, when that happened on March 11th of this year, and then after a little while just dropped it, the media in this country. And it's true. When's the last time we did a segment on Fukushima? When's the last time you really read a follow-up? And yet people there are still intensely affected by all of what happened as a result of the earthquake and tsunami, certainly including Fukushima. So maybe underrated in the U.S. press after the first several weeks. Ben in Brooklyn, what's underrated?
Hey, how you doing, Brian? I think the pull-up, the old-school pull-up, is an underrated physical endeavor activity that everybody, including our kids at school and us at home, we should be doing.
Are you a gym teacher?
I am not.
I ask because I have an eighth grader, and he had his, fitness test series, whatever they call it, in gym this year. And I actually asked him that question. It was just the other day because he was telling me how he scored on the sit-ups and how he scored on the push-ups and how he scored on the running part. And I said, oh, well, did you do pull-ups? And he said, what's a pull-up?
Well, they've largely been taken out of any type of gym curriculum that actually is still in schools. And it's a shame because it's a real test of your strength. We get the phrase pull your weight from it. Mm. And it's something you can do at home. And our grandparents could all do them. It was all standard part of becoming part of the military or getting through gym class when we were kids.
Building up those bicep muscles. All right. Tony in Kansas City, you're going to be our last caller on what was underrated in 2011. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing? I would have to say Glenn Campbell's last release, Ghost on the Canvas. It's spectacular, and I'm really surprised it's not even nominated for any Grammys.
His last release? Forgive me. Does that mean latest release, or did he pass away?
No, he's suffering from Alzheimer's, and he's doing the last run. I think your listeners there in New York will probably be able to see them at the beginning of next year, and I would recommend it. I had a chance to see him in Branson, so he's just just winding down the career. That's it.
Thank you very much, Tony in Kansas City. The last Glenn Campbell fan saying his Ghost on the Canvas album underrated. Thanks for all your calls on what was underrated in 2011.